Good to see everybody here. Yeah, so we're going to have a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. Thank you very much. I just come from Centurion. We have just released our team to Angola. So Friday we are flying, going into Angola and to serve the Lord there with the Centurion team. Amen. Yes, are you happy to be in the presence of the Lord? Awesome. We are going to be dealing with the book of James, few things in the book of James. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. James is written at the time when the gospel was preached. And so the gospel was preached and the people have heard the gospel over and over and over again, but there were things which concerned James about the church. So he is writing a very strong message towards the church so that he can be able to address those things. I call them the issues of maturity. James is challenging the church in three levels. The church in Jerusalem is challenging it in three levels. Number one, he's challenging the church in Jerusalem in the area of their thinking. And he's saying to the church, hey, I'm expecting that by now we should be thinking in a certain way. There's a certain way we must be thinking at this stage because there must be the evidence of the effect of the gospel in our lives. And he's saying, no. You cannot just be hearers only of this gospel, but you must be doers as well. Must be evidence in how you think. The gospel must shape the way you think. Because we live in the world of so many things. We live in the world of different ideologies coming from different, and we live in the world of different traditions as well. You know, we come from, some of us, we come from different forms of spirituality. And then when we come into Christ, the truth of the gospel must shape us in a certain way. So he was concerned and he was saying, hey, there are things that I need to address with you as the church. And the first thing that he addresses, let's go to the book of James. The book of James, let me get there. Yeah, the first thing that he comes, we read from James chapter 1, verse 2. This is the first area where he says, "You there's a certain way you have to view trials." We cannot view trials that we go through just like people who did not know God, just like people who were not affected by the gospel. There must be evidence. And this is what he says. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds. Because who in the world would be joyful to face trials? Really? I mean, just to be happy that you're being smacked by life up and down? Is this what we should be doing? He's actually saying, when you look at trials with Christ in mind, you will be joyful because you will know the end result of what's going to happen. When you view the trials with Christ in mind, when you understand that when you go through trials of many kinds and Christ is involved, there's a positive outcome. Okay? So this is what he's encouraging the church. We must not look at trials just like the world look at trials. We must look at trials as Christians with a perspective of Christ and saying, it doesn't matter How many trials that I go through, as long as Christ is involved, there will be a positive outcome. You know, that's why it says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, those who are called according to His name. There is a divine purpose that God has around trials for those that belong to Him. So, hence there is another scripture in the book of Corinthians. He says, He cannot give you the weight of trial that is above your strength. You see, so, because He knows that if He gives you that which is above your strength, it can crush you. So when He says, okay, this is what's happening. When you go through something, and this thing seems to be above your strength, I want you to think about those people in the gym. You know, when the weights, when we go into the gym, there are people who, I mean, I see it sometimes people are taking chances. They want to go into a very heavy weight and pull it alone, you know, to demonstrate how strong they are. And we've seen some of them crash under those weights. But you know, there's a person in the gym, we call them a spotter. He's there right as you push the weight. He's doing this. He's not touching. He's waiting for the time when you cannot pull this again. And then what happens? Right there when you break, he comes to say, no, you're not going to crash. And that is the picture of Christ for us in the middle of trials. He will be there to spot areas where this thing is going to crush you. And He will come through His power and through His grace to lift this weight from crushing you. His faithfulness through trials. This is the faithfulness of Christ through trials. So when we go through trials of many kinds, we must know that our God is a faithful God. And He will never leave us alone in the middle of it all. So this is the Christian way of looking at things. We are not alone in the middle of it all. I don't care how heavy it is. I don't care how tough it is. He is definitely involved. And when God is involved in our trials, I can guarantee you there will be positive outcome. Now, this is the positive outcome which James is mentioning here. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The first thing, the testing of your faith develops a virtue called perseverance. You know, when we persevere through these things, through Christ, who has strengthened us. You know what perseverance does? Perseverance produces maturity. You mature through trial. Instead of them crushing you, instead of them destroying you, they are forming something of God inside of you. So we are not going to fear trials. Because we know that God will use them to form something of Himself in us. And this is what he was challenging. He said, your view of trials is wrong. You do not understand how you should view trials. We view trials with the mind of Christ, with an understanding of Christ, and we go through with that, the mind of Christ. So it will produce perseverance. Perseverance produces maturity. He says, perseverance must finish its work so that, you see, now perseverance is busy with us. You know, this perseverance must finish its work. It must accomplish something of God. Using trials must accomplish something of God in us. It says it must finish its work. It means now at this stage, it's dealing with our character. It's dealing with our inner man. Paul says, though the outward man is fading, the inner man is always strengthened. So through trials, God strengthens your inner man. He's not crushing you. Strengthens your inner man. Some of the most tenacious, strong and powerful men and women of God that we find today, ask them the level of trials they've been through. Ask them how the Lord used perseverance to break them down in order to build something in them. You see, something what I like about trials of many kinds, they break our flesh and build our spirit. Break our flesh, because it is at this that we say, Lord, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah, so this is the view, the view that James wanted the church to have, the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ must be the only operative that helps us to handle issues of trials. So, does bad things happen to good people? Yes. Bad things do happen to good people? Yes. But it is how we handle those bad things that demonstrate if we know Christ or not. You know, when we go through, just after, even during the establishment of the church was established on the foundation of many trials and persecutions. And perseverance of those who stood up gave us what we have today. Those who were willing to say, push us, Lord, to that place of maturity. May we die so that Christ can live forever in humanity. And trials makes us die to self so that we can live in Christ. You know? And that is an instrument that we're not going to run away from. We must just be able to have what James is teaching here. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, not lacking anything pertaining to character, pertaining to issues of maturity. We must then be able to be looked at and say, wow, you know what? She went through, he went through. If he survived, he's such an encouragement. We can stand because we have seen you stand. You are such an encouragement. You know we have seen the faithfulness of God through your life. And this is where James wants to put people, to say, expect the faithfulness of God when you go through these trials. And he continues to say, if any of you lacks wisdom. Because, you know, with regard to trials, you need wisdom. You know, with regard to trials, you need wisdom. Believe me, you need wisdom. Because sometimes with regard to trials, there are those self-caused trials. You know, things that we cause, the storms we cause, and the storms that just happens because we live in an imperfect life. And all of those things, we need wisdom. And there's a third level of storms that the enemy throws us with all the time in order to try and discourage us. So those three levels, we need wisdom. We need to know where we have to repent because we do not do things right. That is just wisdom. We need to be able to say, oh Lord, I am in this thing because you have been speaking to me not to go left. I mean, not to go right, and I've been going left. And, you know, as a result, I need to come to you, Lord, submit myself so that I can be able to gain more wisdom and move forward. And the second one is when the enemy throws you with trials, what do? You need to discern, because sometimes he throws you with a trial and condemn you on the other side and want you to own up for something that is not. It's not, you are not the cause. You know, throw you with a spirit of condemnation. Always condemning yourself. I'm not good enough. You know, all of these things. Because that's what the enemy does. So that he can confuse you. But the wisdom of Christ through trials gives you discernment. You are able to know and say, this is the enemy. This is the works of the enemy. You know, This is the works of the enemy. And when you know and you can discern that this is the works of the enemy, what do? You stand upon the word of God. You can resist. You can pray against. You can speak against all of those things. That is the wisdom of God that is at play in the area of trials. So we need the wisdom of God that gives us discernment at these things. Because if we do not have the wisdom of God with regard to trials, I can tell you, in a place where you are supposed to pray, you're going to want to repent. In a place where you're supposed to repent, you're going to want to claim it might be the enemy. You understand that? But the wisdom of God will come with his light and say, now this is what you need. This is the position that you have to take. And as a result, there's no way the devil can come and use anything in our lives to disposition us from Christ. So that is something very deep that James is asserting people. Because this thing, if you are not positioned well, the devil would use this kind of things to derail us from issues of faith. You know, living in the times that we live in, I want us to go back in understanding this. Let's go to Isaiah. Let me show you Isaiah 43, verse 1. Isaiah 43. Yep. He says, but now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. His faithfulness during trials. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. God's guaranteed faithfulness. They will not sweep over you. How many things do we go through and the fear grabs us and instructs us how to act? Instead of heeding to what the Lord says, he says these waters, then these rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, now you can hear now, this is the intensity, moving from water now, into the fire now. He's actually showing a progression of, you thought this was tough, now I've moved into, you know, some of us when we pray for something and it gets more tougher. Or is it only me that is facing those kind of things? You pray, you trust God, and the warfare goes up. Instead of going down, it skyrockets now. And you wonder, Lord, should I stop praying or what? You know, and this is what Isaiah observes here. You know, when you pass through waters, and now he takes you into an area, it says, when you go through the fire now. It simply means even it doesn't matter how intense the trials can be. The Lord's faithfulness will be there with us. Because you know what? This is what happens. We pray. We trust God for something. And instead of it coming down, it presents the intensity of spiritual warfare towards us. And then if we are not mature enough, we get discouraged. And we break down. Where is God when all of this thing happened? Hold your peace. He is still faithful. His name is still Jesus. He's still on the throne. He changes not. Even though Isaac can die in the middle of the fire, God can still raise him. You understand what I mean? Even if Isaac can die in the middle of the fire, of trial, God can still raise Isaac. So we do not go into this looking at the intensity and say, we say, God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. And we go to God because of his faithfulness. It says when you walk through the fire, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. These flames will not set you ablaze. For I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I will give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give Med in exchange of you. You know, this is the faithfulness of God. It's an expression of his faithfulness towards us. That, look, I will never betray you at any level, at any point. This is the expression of God's extent of love and faithfulness towards us. He says, I would rather sacrifice everything else, but I will never sacrifice you. Not you. This is God's faithfulness. Children of God, we are just not nobodies. We are covenanted people. We are people who are covered by the blood. We belong to Christ. And because we belong to Christ, there's a certain way we have to think. There's a certain way we have to think. There's a certain way we have to speak when we go through these things. And there's a certain way we have to act when we go through these things. In the Old Testament, there's examples of people who responded through trials, observing God, not the storms. And they declared the faithfulness of God even under the most tenacious times of their walk with God. One of them is that Shunammite woman who never asked for a child, but the man of God, because of her servitude, promised that God will give her a child. And when the child was dead, she did not confess negativity, but she yielded to the God of Israel. And she knew that when God promises, he sustains. So she was shocked to say, but if God gave me this child, why this child have to die? You see the wisdom I'm talking about now. If God gave me this child, why does this child have to die? It's like when you know that God has given you business, for example, and you can see there is death happening to this business from all angles that you cannot fully understand. You know what you do? You take the business back to God and say, Lord, there's something wrong here. Why the business that you have given me, why is it experiencing death the way it does? And I can tell you, the voice of the Lord will speak afresh to you. The voice of the Lord will speak afresh to you with regard to that which he gave you initially. She did. She went back to the place where she received the child to Elijah. After settling a horse and going back to that man of God and say, hey, I did not ask for a child. It is the promises of God that gave me the child. What's happening with this child? The child that you have given me is dead. That's a person who understands the faithfulness of God. To say, Lord, you are the one that gave it, be the one that addresses it. You know, you are the one that gave it, be the one that addresses it. Children of God, let's involve God heavily in our lives. I can tell you, you can trust God, but learn to go on your knees. Learn to ask for the wisdom of God when we go through things. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Take time out. Just take time out of prayer and ask the Lord deep questions when you are in a place of confusion. I can guarantee you, the Lord will speak. the Lord God Almighty will speak. His light will shine. His light will shine because he wants this perseverance to do its full work, to achieve a stature of Christ in us instead of us being destroyed. So when a sinner is here going through the same trial, and I am here being Franz, a child of God, when the world observes us, they must see different mindsets, different ways of handling the same thing, because we are different. We are different in that we have God on our side. We are different that we have the counsel of God on our side. It is people on this side who must observe us this side and say, wow, this is different. Paul challenges us even with mourning of the dead. Because, you know, in the early church, people used to die. And there was a belief that, no, people are not going to die before Jesus would come. And people would be discouraged because their loved ones were just dying like that. And Paul speaks to the Thessalonians, and he says, I don't want you to mourn like those who do not know the Lord. You understand? Not like those who do not know the Lord. We know that people don't just die. There's a promise of eternal life. So when my mother dies, I can tell you, this is a true story. I don't know if I told it here, but there was a man of God, Bengu, from Assemblies of God, and he was going into Zimbabwe. And as he was going into Zimbabwe, him and his wife, they were driving a 1400 Bucky, going to a revival just across the border. Just before the border, what happened is their daughter was sick. And they were trusting God for her healing. And they were going to a miracle crusade. This man, God was using him for miracle signs and wonders. But the more he was trusting God for signs and wonders on the other side, his own child was dying with sickness. Isn't it that the case that you encourage others, but you the encourager, get discouraged? It's often the case, you know. God lifts you up to encourage others, and the enemy attacks you with the same thing from behind. You know, he's trusting God for healing, and right in the middle of the bush, the daughter dies. And Bengu looks at his wife, and his wife is crying and says, just wait here, my wife, I'm coming back. He walked through the bush to the nearest village, asked for a shovel and a pick, and came back, looked at his wife and said, let's thank God for the gift that he had given us in this child. Our daughter is in heaven. Let us rejoice and thank the Lord for the gift of this daughter. And we're going to bury this daughter right here and go on to do the work of our father. Right there, he dug a grave in the middle of nowhere, buried that daughter. Thank the Lord for the life that was given to them. And then he took the pigs back to the village and got back into his bucky, held his wife like that, and they continued to pray in tongues and praise the Lord as they were going to the revival meeting. As they got to the other side, it is recorded that the miracles that the Lord used him for on that day superseded all the miracles that God used his life for all the days of his life. Many people, the dead people were raised from the dead, the crippled walked, many things took place and was glorified, but the man was tried and he was tested heavily. But the perseverance and the mind of Christ on him and his wife, with much more maturity, that I don't know if I would handle it if I was faced with it. But if he could handle such an extreme thing like that, and they could serve God through it all, man, it should be an encouragement for us that it is possible to be tried and to be tested and to be faithful in the middle of it all. So this is a word of encouragement for you to say, you know what, in this season and in this time, I know that many Christians are going through challenges. Child of God, God is with you. The fact that you are going through challenges does not mean God is not with you. And it does not mean maybe you have sinned or something else. It simply means God wants to craft something of him using perseverance of trials just to mature you to certain areas of Christ inside of you. Ask for his wisdom, ask for his counsel. He will speak in situations and he will never leave you alone. No fire will overcome you. No water will overwhelm you. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this time and this precious time that we have. Even as we stand, Lord, in the middle of this earth, challenged on every side, the Bible says we are perplexed on every side, but we will never be crushed because of your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, I commit all my brothers to you, my brothers and my sisters, even as we are facing so many things on many levels. I ask, Lord, that you will help us understand who you are. Help us to just yield to the person of Christ in the middle of it all. To allow you, Lord, to speak to us. To allow you to use perseverance to mature us. Give us wisdom and counsel. We pray, Father, in the name that is above every other name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. If you are facing any form of trial and you are saying, look, I need to be strengthened. I just need to be strengthened and I need the wisdom and I need the counsel of God. You can just raise your hand where you are and let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Father, in the name that is above every other name, I pray for my brothers. I pray for my brothers right now, even as they trust you during their trials of many kinds. Lord, strengthen them. Speak, counsel, lead, and guide. In the name that is above every other name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and we glorify you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.